As I said, our title for our all-age services in this season is More and More, and we'll be looking at different parts of that, but today, More and More Thanksgiving. And that thought comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, where Paul wrote, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." I want to talk a bit of science this morning. Don't switch off. If you're online, don't switch off. You don't have to follow the science for the illustration to work, but it sort of makes it better if you are able to follow it a bit. You know that song we just sang about God being a great big God? You know, we'd love singing that song because it's a great song, but today it's actually relevant as well. Good and relevant. Well done, Mike. So I'm going to talk science. Science tries to explain what we can observe, what we can see, touch, feel, have detectors for. We come up with ideas to make sense of what we see. So we see something happening, we try to make sense of it. But our ideas are often wrong. Our theory might make sense of what we see, but there are usually things that we don't see, which means that things are more complicated than we thought. That's all part of the scientific method. So, just to get this out there, I am not saying that science is always right. Clear? But I'm going to talk about the universe from a scientific point of view. I am not disputing that God can do things that science cannot explain, things that we've not discovered or understood. And that might make all our calculations wrong. You might think that science suggests we have got things wrong. But that doesn't spoil the illustration, so stick with it. I'm going to talk about the sun. Oh, there we go, the sun. You remember that. We used to see it last summer. Actually, We've been really blessed because this morning you can actually see it out there. So you might see it, remember it from this morning. The sun is 93 million miles away. Okay, I need some orders of magnitude demonstrators this morning. I need three people that can sit and hold a piece of paper and are not afraid of being on the video. Okay, I've got one, I've got two, I've got three. All ladies, gentlemen, you cowards. Well done, ladies. Okay, right. You are thousands. Okay? You are millions. Okay? You are billions. Okay? So here's the thing. If I say billion, who needs to hold the bits of paper up? All of them. All of them, because a billion has got thousands and millions in it, okay? So you need all of them. So if I say 1,000, it's just Maureen. If I say 1,000,000, it's Maureen and Shona. If it's 1,000,000,000, it's all three of you, okay? We got that. So the sun is 93 million miles away. Yeah. 93 million miles away. It could be fun. Okay, we'll get it. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. How long do you think it takes to get here?
8 minutes.
Okay, it is about 8 minutes. Do you know, it is suspiciously exactly 500 seconds. That's odd. Accountants are always suspicious of that, aren't you, when it's exactly a round number? I don't quite know why that is, but it's exactly 500 seconds. So we see the sun as it was 8 minutes ago. Does that make sense? We look at the sun, light sets off, we see it 8 minutes later. So we see it as it was 8 8 minutes ago. An aside. Did you know that it can take 150,000 years for a photon to travel from where it's produced in the centre of the sun, in the core, to the surface? 150,000 years to get to the surface, and then 8 minutes to get to us. Yeah, yeah. If you don't believe me and you don't understand it, I will explain that to you afterwards. But not now. I mustn't get sidetracked. So a light year, let's trace that 8 minutes. A light year is how far light would travel in a year in a vacuum, which is 5.88 trillion miles per year. Let's let that sink in. So we talk about light travels 186 miles per second, but we normally think in miles per hour, don't we? So 5.88000000000 miles per year. 5.8 trillion miles per year. Keep that in mind. Thank you. That was a trillion. Astronomers calculate that the universe is about 13.7 billion, good guess, Greta, billion years old. 13.7 billion years old. That's even older than me. As nothing can travel faster than the speed of light, the universe should be less than 28 billion light years across. Billion. No, but be careful of your units. We're not talking in miles now. We're talking in light years. Remember? So 28 billion times 58, what was it, 5.88 trillion. I haven't worked that number out, but it's very, very big. But you can get caught out with your units, can't you, when you start doing this. So, but are you with me so far? If it's 13.7 billion years old, twice times 13.7 billion would give you 27.4 billion light years, yeah? Yeah. You can multiply 13 times 2, can't you? So 13.7 times 2. Yeah, you got there. You got there. All right. I knew you'd get there. Actually, it's much, much, much bigger than that. The observable universe, is calculated to be 94 billion light years across. Eh? How can that possibly be right? Thank you, my magnitude demonstrators. You may return to more comfortable seats. I have an illustration for you. I now need somebody that can use a tape measure. Oh, and thank you for volunteering. Here is the man who measures twice and cuts once. So, here is my model of the universe. And on it, I have drawn some galaxies. Okay, not the chocolate, groups of stars. Pick a galaxy. Well, pick two galaxies. Any two you like. Those two. Would you measure just from the edge of that one to that one? This is a special light year measure. Anth is measuring it. And
4 inches.
Okay. 4 inches from the centre to the centre, yeah? 100
millimetres.
So four inches, that would be four, let's say, million light years. Because it's a special ruler. Okay. But here's what's happening. Okay. Am I going red yet? Okay. Yeah. Do you remember which two it was? I'll have to lay it down again and blow it up again. Yeah, all right, measure those two. How much is it now?
7.5 inches.
7.5 million light years. Thanks, Anne. Thank you very much. Round of applause for my beautiful assistant. So, now, here's the thing. The galaxies, it's not to scale, okay? Not to scale. The galaxies are much, much smaller than that. But the galaxies are not moving on the surface of the time-space continuum. That's what scientists call it. We call it the universe. So they're not, on this model, they're not moving. They're drawn, they're not moving on the surface of the balloon. But the balloon itself is expanding. Nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. But the universe, the space, the universe is expanding about 3.5 times faster than the speed of light. And the galaxies are moving as well, but just get your head around that. No object can move itself faster than the speed of light, but the universe itself is expanding faster than the speed of light. I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. This is what the science tells us. You know, actually what it tells us is in the first, I think it's like 10 to the minus 27, so that's 0.27 seconds, the universe expanded from virtually the size of a bit of DNA across, like a nanometer across, to billions of light years across. Then it slowed down a lot, because if it carried on going at that rate, it would have evaporated away. But it's just the right speed, so there's time for stars and galaxies and planets to form in order for there to be somewhere for us to live, to exist. Universe expanding faster than the speed of light. More and more universe. Oh, I do need to say, don't worry, that doesn't mean that you're expanding. Okay? It might feel like you are, but no. That we're talking about the bigger the balloon, the faster it expands. You imagine a small balloon, it would expand less. A big balloon, it's going to expand further. So the further things are away, the faster they're moving away from us. Does that make sense? Yes, they said. There are also other forces that are holding things together on a smaller scale, like gravity. Not even our galaxy is expanding. The universe is expanding. Space between galaxies is expanding. But within our own universe, not expanding. We're talking about much bigger distances. That doesn't mean we're stationary. The galaxy is rotating at 1.3 million miles per hour. The solar system is rotating at 448,000 miles per hour within the galaxy that is rotating at 1.3 million miles per hour. We go around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. And we rotate on our axis at about 1,000 miles per hour. And you thought you were sitting still. It's all relative. The speed of light in miles per hour is something like 671 miles per hour. These numbers blow your mind, don't they? Yeah. If I've not blown your mind yet, you've not understood what I'm saying. Now, if the universe is expanding, and therefore the distance between us and distant galaxies is constantly increasing at the speed of light, more than the speed of light, and the light's travelling towards us at, well, the speed of light, then that light would never reach us, because it would be expanding away from us quicker than it's approaching us. The reality is that it's not always expanded at the same rate. As I said, it expanded very, very quickly, and it slowed down, but still expanding quite fast. And now, scientists have just discovered, it's getting faster and faster. And they've had to come up with something to explain that, which they call dark matter. So it's not expanding at a constant rate. It's not just that the galaxies are moving away from us, but the space between the galaxies is expanding. So hopefully we've got that. The further away, the faster. 97, it's not just bits of the universe, 97% of the observable universe is travelling away from us faster than the speed of light. There are one or two open mouths. Not sure if you're yawning or unable to quite take this in. So when we look at the most distant parts of the universe, what we see is not what is there now. What we see is what was where it was 13.7 billion years ago. Yeah. So when you look out and you saw the sun 8 minutes ago, because it's only 93 million miles away. You look at the distant parts of the universe, you're looking 13.7 billion years ago. So what you're seeing is the light that set off 13.7 billion years ago. So what we see then is microwave background radiation. When I say see, we can't see microwave back. I mean, when you look at your microwave, you can't see any waves going backwards and forwards in it, can you? So when I say see, what I mean is you can detect. So they can detect. So that's what you see when you look out all that distance. So we can observe microwave background radiation that was 42,000 light years away. I need my magnitudes back again. 42,000, notice the units, light years away when it set off. But because the universe is expanding, astronomers estimate that that place that we're looking at, 13.7 billion light years away, is now, because this universe is expanding, 46 billion light years away. So when the light set off, it was 42,000 light years away, million light years away. Now, it should have taken how long to get to us if it's travelling 1 year every light year? 42,000 years to get here. But it's taken 13.7 billion light years to get here. Why is that? Why has it taken so long? Because it's been expanding all the time faster than the speed of light, or at certain times faster than the speed of light. Therefore, that lengthens the length of time that it's got to take to get here. So since it set off, the place that it set off from has long since moved billions of light years further away. I calculated it was about 3.5 times the speed of light. Actually, the first time I worked it out, that it was moving at 3.5 miles an hour. Then I remembered the units, light years. So it's travelling on average 3.5 times the speed of light, which nothing can travel faster than. So the most distant, that's how long it took, 13.7 billion years. The most distant objects that we can observe are now 46 billion light years away, making the size of the observable universe about 92 billion light years across. If you've still not worked out the difference between a billion and a million, I'll give you a million pennies after the service and you can give me a billion. Okay. And then we'll be even, roughly. So the universe is probably much bigger than the observable universe. That's just how far we can see. But it can't be infinite. Why can't it be infinite? Because it started from a single point. This is science. I've not got onto theology yet. Just talking science. It started from a single spot. And it's not travelling infinitely fast. It's travelling really, really, really fast, but not infinitely fast. So it can only ever be a finite distance from the centre. Very large, but not infinite. Has anybody got a mind that hasn't been blown yet? There are some stars which we will never see because they're too far away. We will never see the light from objects that are currently more than 15 billion light years away because the universe is still expanding. We are losing, if you still got a mind, this will blow it, we are losing 20,000 stars every second to an area that will forever remain beyond our future view. Wow. This is what one Christian astronomer said. For me, the more we know about the vast, intricate and beautiful universe we live in, the bigger and more awe-inspiring is the God who made it all. For the purposes of this morning's illustration, all you have to remember is that the universe is expanding really fast. What science tells us about physical matter, the Bible tells us about the work of the Spirit. And I wanted to tell you all of this to give you a measure of scale. When I say that the work of the Spirit is expanding, you might think, like, a little bit. But think about the universe and how quickly that is expanding. The Spirit's work is always more and more. It's not surprising if you believe, as I do, that the Spirit created the universe. Then the way that the Spirit creates the universe is likely to be similar to the way that the Spirit works in other ways. From that moment that God said, "Let there be light," and created the universe, there has been more and more universe, like a huge expanding speech bubble, which says in the middle of it, "Let there be light." So our old age series title is More and More. This week we're thinking about more and more thanksgiving. I said a few weeks ago that complete darkness is simply the absence of all light. It can't get any darker than that. Whereas light can always get brighter and brighter. So what's the cause of this ever-expanding thanksgiving that Paul was talking about? What was the spiritual Big Bang, if you like? Here's what he says. "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." So the spiritual Big Bang is the death and resurrection of Jesus. This revealed the undeserved love, the forgiveness of God, what Paul calls grace. Paul promises that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us and present us together with himself. I love that image that Jesus has done the work on the cross, paying for our sins. By the Holy Spirit we're sanctified. And then Jesus presents us to himself as his spiritual bride. And now my theological brain is blown. That Jesus is both the one who prepares us and presents us to himself. Do you think he's going to be pleased? As he's doing the preparation, I assume that we will be pure and spotless without spot or blemish, given that that's what he's promised. So this grace is what is proclaimed to more and more people. Paul has been part of that, going out and telling people about it, and then those people have told other people about it, and those people have told, you get the idea. You might think back to the day of Pentecost, another massive expansion of the church from just 12 to 3,000. And then those telling more and those telling more. Growing every day, more and more people being added. What's the result of this? Well, as people receive this good news of grace, people overflow with thanksgiving. They're grateful to God and they're grateful to those who shared good news with them. They're grateful that they've been brought into the body of Christ. And that leads to more and more glory for God. Wow. Isn't it great to be part of that movement which is ever expanding? People becoming Christians right around the world even now. More people Christians today than in any other age. You might look around our own country and think that Christianity is dwindling. No, worldwide it is growing. Bigger and bigger, more and more thanksgiving, more and more glory to God. Later in Paul's letter, we discover that the particular cause of thanksgiving in this case is going to be the generosity of the Corinthian Christians who are going to give a gift to the Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. So there's a practical outworking of this. Because of the grace of God in them, they are practically helping their brothers and sisters. And that is the effect of God's indescribable gift to them. I wonder how you've experienced God's grace. A few weeks ago, we at the turn of the year, we had a Thanksgiving service and people came and they put their stickers up on the pulpit to say, this is what I want to give thanks to God for. I'm going to drive you a bit further, a bit deeper. So there's things that we enjoy and we want to be thankful for. But I want to particularly think about how have we experienced God through those things? So you might give thanks for a beautiful day today, but how do we experience God's grace in that? You might give thanks for your health today. How do you experience God's grace in that? You might experience a gift of God through your family today, but how do you experience God through that? So what I'm going to ask you to do is to think of some ways in which you've experienced God's grace. I've got a second balloon. This is perhaps thinking about the kingdom of the Spirit expanding more and more as we give thanks. So I'll start you off. It's always the first bit that's the hardest. Love the idea of the fact that in Hebrew the word for spirit is the same as breath. So you think that my illustration of the universe is a bit silly. But the breath of God, it's what creates the universe. The very word of God. Well, I think it's quite deep. Here you go. There we go. Grace. I've given you grace. We experience God's presence through grace. But how do we experience that grace? Well, name some things, some ways in which we experience God's grace. I'd like somebody to come and write on the balloon, because it's difficult for me to write on the balloon and hold the balloon without it... We don't want that happening. So who can write this morning? Who is prepared to write for me this morning? Nobody is prepared to write. Thank you, Trevor. This is mainly because I can't spell. So I have spelt grace right, though, I think. Yes. I think that's fairly straightforward. So just shout out some ways in which you have experienced God's grace. If you're sort of a bit surface, I'll push a bit deeper and others can help you. So,
short words, please.
Short words, yeah.
Worship songs.
Worship songs. So how do we experience God's grace through worship songs? What does it do for us? What does it express to us that means that we experience God's grace through that? So we give thanks for worship songs because we experience God's
presence.
Great. Presence is presence, not presence. Yeah. Presence. Yeah, I think that's right. Okay. Presence.
Love.
Love. Okay, so we experience love. That's good. Very good. Yeah. How else might we experience God's grace?
Peace.
Now, the observant amongst you might start seeing a pattern here.
Kindness.
Somebody's fallen in with a pattern. Kindness, yeah. It's behind you.
Forgiveness,
yeah. So we experience God's grace through forgiveness. Okay, I'll give you the other side of the balloon. There you go.
Acceptance.
We've got quite a lot of balloon. Acceptance, that's good. That's a quite a long word, I'm afraid, but you've got plenty of balloon. I'm sorry if anybody's got one of those aversions to a particular sound and yours is felt pen on balloon.
Do it louder.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let's do two more.
Joy.
I think two people say at the same time, joy. That's nice and short. Not too noisy. Perfect. One more.
Friendship.
Oh, I got two at the same time. What did you say, George?
Friendship.
Friendship. There you go. Friendship. So, friendship with God. Friendship breaks down the barriers between us. Yeah. Okay. Right. Thank you very much, Trevor. A round of applause for Trevor. Now what I've got to do. Right up a bit. They are supposed to be blown up quite big, don't worry. You are quite nervous, aren't you? I can tell, but I have tried it at home, and it is quite able to do this. He says, confidently. So there we are. We have blown up a little bit bigger this balloon of thanksgiving that's going to be going more and more, like the universe expanding out. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a very serious time of prayer now. We're going to bounce the balloon around the church. And when you get the balloon, I'd like you to give thanks for one of the things on the balloon that you can read. And because Trevor's written it, you'll be able to read any of them. Okay, you got the idea? You're not allowed to just bat it onto the next person. Nice and loud. And if it goes on the floor in the middle, you can't just leave it there. Somebody's got to pick it up. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh. No. You've got to catch the balloon.
Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for your grace. It's only through grace that we can come to you.
Father, we thank you for your acceptance. Thank you that in Jesus we are accepted as your children. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you forgive us, Lord, and it's not until you forgive us, Lord, that we can forgive others.
That'll be you, Anne.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that you give us in this beautiful world, the things we see and the people we meet, and for your love.
Lord, I just thank you for your presence in our lives. And Lord, when times get tough, just to remind us of your presence at that time, and that you never leave us. So I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you for your peace, the peace that Jesus gives us, the peace that the world cannot give, peace that is beyond understanding, but which you graciously give to us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we experience kindness from not just you, but all our fellow believers.
Last one, Chair.
Last one, okay. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for friendship. Lord, some of us have friends that we have for years, some of us have new friends, but we thank you that they're a gift from you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for joining in with that. More and more thanksgiving, more and more glory to God as his grace reaches out into our community. We're going to... Thanks, Trevor. Let's put it up here on the table. So I brought a couple of books with me this morning. One by Professor Brian Cox, who talks about the wonders of the universe, and one by Simon Ponsonby called More. And in this, he basically just challenges that settled nature of Christians that sort of say, well, I was saved 25 years ago, I received Jesus, why would I ever need more? And he says, yeah, but ask, seek, knock, hunger, thirst for more of God. So I wonder whether you perhaps have come this morning aware of a hunger and a thirst, but thinking you can't ask God for more. I challenge you, ask for more. Ask for more. That's what we do when we invite you to come for a prayer ministry, is to ask for more. It's not actually my job to come round and say, you will have more. Be blown up. No, it's for you to say, fill me. Would you pray with me? Like the Apostle Paul, who wrote to his churches and said, and pray for me also. So pray for me also. But come seek prayer in the prayer corners. Come as we're singing in worship. Come following the service. But seek God. Ask, seek, knock for more. Thank you, Mike.